Today's study is entitled The Unknown God. The Unknown God. And we'll be in the book of Acts, chapter 17 today. Let me ask you a question today. Do you know God? I'm not asking, do you know about God? I'm asking you, do you know God? Do you have a personal relationship with the God of this universe? You see, the one true God of the universe wants people to know Him. He says in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The psalmist said in Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves." You see, by and large, the world does not know God. Notice what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 25. "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me." You see, my dear listener, a person can never have eternal life until he or she comes to know the only true God. Jesus also said this in his prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal," here it is, "that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." The Apostle John said in his epistle, his first epistle of John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding," here it is, "that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life." Today I want us to look at why the unknown God remains unknown. Why the unknown God remains unknown. A backdrop for this lesson is in Acts chapter 17. And the first reason the unknown God remains unknown is God remains unknown because of ignorance. Because of ignorance. In Acts chapter 17, verse 23, the Word of God has this to say, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" And of course, the Apostle Paul is speaking here as he addresses the Athenians. Unknown means not to know. You see? It can mean to not know because of lack of information or intelligence. But the real implication of the word is that it is because the individual chooses to ignore someone because they are unwilling or reluctant to know them. You see, Paul no doubt was reminded of his own former ignorance. He wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Who was, and Paul describes who he was before he was saved, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, "but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now understand that Paul thought he knew God before he was saved on the Damascus Road. But after he was converted, he freely acknowledges that he did not know God, but was ignorantly in unbelief. And then we also see that Paul, no doubt, was reminded of the nation of Israel's ignorance. Notice what Paul said to the Romans in chapter number 10, Romans 10. In Romans chapter 10, look at verses 1 to 3 with me. The Word of God says this: "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Here it is: "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So we see that Paul was reminded of the nation of Israel's ignorance. Notice what Jesus told a group of Jews in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 with me, please. In John chapter 8, look with me at verses 43 to 45. "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear me? Ye are of your father the devil, in the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Jesus was asked some questions by a group of Sadducees. And here's what he said to them in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 reminds us, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So we see that God remains unknown because of ignorance. Second, God remains unknown because of self-imposed darkness. God remains unknown because of self-imposed darkness. Notice with me what the Word of God has to say in Psalm 14, verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Why is a man a fool who says that there is no God? Well, because everything in him and around him and about him says that there is a God. Notice with me what the Apostle Paul had to say in the book of Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, the Word of God says this: "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, Paul says, you can't say there is no God, because everything in us and around us and about us says there's a God. Just look at the creation, and you can see that there is a God, amen. Notice what Jesus said with me in John's Gospel, chapter 3, John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, notice what the Word of God has to say in verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, a man knows that as long as there is no God, there is no responsibility or day of reckoning. But it is extremely foolish to deny what is obvious reality. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, notice what the Word of God says about Pharaoh. What Pharaoh said. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And we know what happened to Pharaoh and his army, amen. Many today say the same thing. Who is God that I should obey him? Amen. Let's go back to Acts chapter 17, in verses 24 to 29. Notice what Paul, how he addresses the Athenians here. He says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our beings, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then, we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices." See? So God remains unknown because of self-imposed darkness. Everything tells us, as we saw, the creation tells us there's a God. He's the light that lighteth every man, is in every one of us. It tells us, we know that there is a God, but he remains unknown to some because they don't want to know him. They want to remain in darkness. And as long as they believe that there is no God, that there'll be no responsibility or a day of reckoning. Amen. The third thing we want to see is God remains unknown because of the blindness of hearts and minds. God remains unknown because of the blindness of hearts and minds. We ask the question, what is it that blinds men's hearts and minds? Well, first of all, Satan blinds men's hearts. Satan blinds men's hearts. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, notice what the words of God have to say here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, in ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see that Satan blinds men's hearts. We also see that sin blinds men's hearts. Sin blinds men's hearts. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, please. In Isaiah chapter 59, let's first look at verses 1 and 2. The words of God have this to say: Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Notice verse 10, Isaiah 59. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Sin blinds men's hearts. And not only that, sedition. Sedition blinds men's hearts. Now, sedition is the agitation against the authority of government. For example, that's what rebellion is. Rebellion. Notice with the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We want to turn to John chapter 12, please. In John chapter 12, look with me at verses 37 to verse 40. The words of God have this to say: But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake: Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their ears, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. See, it's rebellion in man's heart that blinds, amen, blinds them to God, keeps them, God remains unknown to them because of the blindness of their hearts and their minds. Now, a fourth thing we want to see, why God remains unknown, is God remains unknown because of deceitful lusts. Now, the Epicureans were followers of Epicurus, who said that the chief end of man was pleasure and happiness. This pleasure, they believe, is attained by avoiding excesses in the fear of death, by seeking tranquility and freedom from pain, and by loving mankind. They believe that if gods exist, they do not become involved in human events. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and down to 24, the Word of God says this. Amen. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, because you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We see that word deceitful here in this passage, which means tending to mislead, deceive, or ensnare, trickish, fraudulent. And then we see also with the word deceitful, the word lusts, meaning a longing, especially for what is forbidden. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 2, the Word of God tells us, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Carried away means out of control, amen? Out of control. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 if you would. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, the Word of God has this to say. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as Gentiles which know not God. Amen. Now that word concupiscence is the same word translated lusts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, which means a longing, especially for what is forbidden. So far in our study today, we've seen that God remains unknown because of ignorance. God remains unknown because of self-imposed darkness. God remains unknown because of the blindness of hearts and minds. And God remains unknown because of deceitful lusts. The fifth thing we want to see today is God remains unknown because of wrong ideas about God in or seeking God in the wrong way. We go back to Acts chapter 17, where Paul is addressing that crowd at Athens. And look at in verse 16. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Then notice verses 21 to 23. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. Too superstitious, Paul says, which means more religious than others. Now, the Stoics were followers of Zeno and got their names from the painted portico of Stoa, where he traditionally taught in Athens. Now, they were pantheistic in their view and felt that a great purpose was directing history. Man's responsibility was to fit himself and align himself with this purpose through tragedy and triumph. What is your idea of who God is? And how he relates to man in his universe? How do you think a man makes his way to God? Listen very closely. If your idea about who God is and how we make our way to him is anything other than what the Bible says, then it's wrong. You may be very sincere in your belief, but my dear friend, you are deceived. Not only that, but unless you repent, you'll be separated from God and spend eternity in hell. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Amen. A sixth thing we want to see is why God remains unknown is because people serve the wrong God. Again, in chapter 17 of Acts, verse 29, we read this, For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think about the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Amen. Paul remained in the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 8. "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods." In Joshua 24, verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve God, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." My dear friend, we don't get to choose if we're going to serve, but whom we are going to serve. Amen. And then the last thing we want to see why God remains unknown is because the gospel is not preached. We were told that Paul was stirred by what he saw. Paul was moved to action by what he saw. Notice, Acts 17, verse 17. "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him." Notice verse 18. "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some say, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus in the resurrection." And then verse 23, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Paul preached the gospel as the only remedy to these folks. Now, what will happen when the gospel is preached? Amen. What happened when he preached the gospel there? The same thing that happens when we preach the gospel. Notice verses 32 to 34. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of the matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believed among them, which was Diosthenes, and Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with him." So what happened? Some mocked. Some wanted to hear more. Some believed. Do you know God? Do you really know him, or do you just know about him? Do you have a personal relationship? God wants you to know him. God has made a way for you to know him. The only way through him is his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me." Amen.